Thank you, thank you. Well, there was a kindergarten teacher one day who had show and tell, and she asked all the kids to come, you know, forward, bring something that reflects your faith. Okay, so first little boy said, "I'm Jewish," and he brought a Star of David. You know, oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. Little girl was next, and she says, "I'm Catholic." She brought a crucifix. And the third little boy says, "I'm Baptist. Here's my casserole." Oh, anyway. Are you going to bring casserole to school next time? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Amen, amen. Well, there was a guy. He went to the gym. And saw a nice lady over there that he was wanting to impress. So he asked the trainer, he says, "What machine should I use to impress her?" And he says, "The ATM machine." And then he said, "Oh, that hurts my feelings. I don't feel very well." He goes, "Well, try the vending machine. That'll make you feel better." Okay, you don't like those. All right, we'll let the little people go. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye. Amen. Whatever way that is. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. John chapter 3, verse 15. You know what? God is so much in love with you. And when we begin to have that revelation, I can't get off of the love of God. Amen. He will, you know, King David, when he was just a boy, you know, he would wrestle lions and bears and do all kinds of stuff. And it was because of his love for God. The whole book of Psalms is nothing but, you know, King David and Moses and other authors in there that have written their love for God. And, you know, even in an Old Testament where we're, you know, killing animals and all these other things, and it just seems like life is so hard in the Old Testament, and we have it so good now, they still saw the mercy of God, right? They still saw his goodness. They still saw him as, they still saw him as a tender, loving, merciful God. Even though when you begin to read the law and you begin to do these things, you have to do this, you have to do this. If you don't do this, there's going to be, you know, bad things that are going to come upon you. They still saw his goodness. And today, how much more do we have it better in this new covenant with Jesus? How much more do we have? And I love this scripture, John 3, 15 through 21. And the reason I love it is because it really, Jesus takes the time to pour his heart out to us. And really, this scripture, you know, we always know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You know, we can rattle that off. But when we look at this whole scripture in context, really what Jesus is sitting here saying is, "This is my purpose for coming." And we can get so religious in the fact that, you know, we talk to people, "You got to be saved. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this." And it's a, you know, like a fire insurance. "We got to hurry up and do it before you get, you got to hurry up and do it." And, you know, I don't like the hard sell for myself. I don't like it. I like to know that God is there wooing me back to him, right? And I've said this before, but, you know, so many years I thought God was mad at me. You know, I screwed up. Oh, my goodness. He's, you know, looked at all my screw-ups and everything. How can I ever live up to God? Well, God never expected me to do it, but he wanted me to be empowered on the inside so that his nature could change my nature, right? That I'm not just trying to do this on my own. And that's where frustration comes in, and that's where religion comes in, right? Religion says that you've got to do something to be good enough for God. Christianity says that God knows that we missed the mark, but he came down to save us and to rescue us. That's the big difference. Religion says you're not doing enough, you can't do enough, you have to do all these things, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. You have to jump through all these hoops. John 3:15 says this, "So that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life." Let me just say this right, really quick right here. God's love delivered us from punishment. God's love delivered us from eternal punishment. Now, you know, too many people will say, "Well, you know, God's one sending people to hell." No, the Bible says that hell was made for demons. It was made for those evil spirits that hate God. It was not made for mankind. It was made for the devil. It says the devil and his demons. But Adam on that day, when he chose to disobey God, chose death. He chose the way of the devil. And then God had no choice but to say, all right, I mean, I didn't want this to happen. Verse 16, for God did not send his son into the world to judge and to condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. See, religion always thinks that God is ready to condemn you. God is ready to beat you up. And the Bible says right here that Jesus didn't come to beat people up, right? What was Jesus' response? Is like, you know, the woman who was caught in adultery. You know, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. You know, never. Jesus never came down and said, "You dirty, rotten scoundrel! You, what were you thinking? You." No, he always gave us a way out all the time. There was always a back door. There was always a way out. The devil likes to condemn, and condemnation is just basically sentencing you with no alternative option. That's it. So we see here, guys, look at it this way. God's love is so wonderful that, you know what? God knows our mistakes. He doesn't have to, it's not like a shock to him at all when we make a mistake or we've sinned or we've done things, right? God isn't, he isn't thrown off by that. He knows what's going on. But he came to redeem us. And he came, I love that, for God, for this is how much God loved the world. He gave his only son, unique son, as a gift. Interesting. I like that. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience eternal life. Believes in him. It doesn't say that we have to go through all these hoops and we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do all of these things. We just simply believe him. Believe him. Verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. I want to read that again. I know I'm kind of hung up on this, but this is really important here. God did not send his son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. Jesus is all about rescuing. And I know that probably all of us have something in our life right now that you're like, God, I need rescued from. There's no perfect person in here. I mean, everybody's got something that you need to be rescued from. You need rescued. Guess what? He's here to rescue you. If you don't believe that he is interested, his desire is to rescue you, and not only just rescue, but to rescue from it right now, you're never going to approach him. It's never going to happen. You'll never approach God. Right? I mean, as I go into the bank, you know, I used to be in banking, you know, and I talk to people about like, hey, maybe let's talk about things. Let's look about refinancing. Well, I'd never get approved. Okay. You know what? What hindered them is because they didn't think that they were going to get approved. Right? So they wouldn't talk to me about help or you know, looking at some other creative options. They're just like, I'm just not approved. Right? Their confidence towards me helping them was not there, right? So guess what? They didn't get help that they probably needed because they didn't have confidence toward it. We're not receiving things from Jesus because we don't have the confidence. Well, life's always been like this, so it must be. No, it doesn't have to be like that. The story doesn't have to end there. Well, but the diagnosis said, or the doctor said, wait a minute here. You know, where is our faith at? Is our faith in Jesus the healer? Do I have more faith in the healing or the negative report? Where is my faith at? Who am I going to put my trust in? Again, God did not send his son to the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its savior and rescue it. Rescue it. Verse Verse 18, so now there is no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. Guess what, guys? We don't have condemnation because we stop sinning. We don't have condemnation because we believe him. What is condemnation? It's that thing that hangs over your head all the time that reminds you of all your screw-ups. Your past. You know, that situation, that diagnosis, that financial situation. You know, that relationship channel. Well, I don't care what it is. It says here, we are no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they don't believe in the name of the God's beloved Son. Guys, we've got the answer. I said it before and I'll say it again. You know, many people, they will have anxiety issues, worry, they're depressed, all these other things. You know, when you're in God and you have the name of Jesus, when you are trusting in him, when you are living in him, what I mean by living in him is your thoughts are consumed with him, you are consumed with his word, you're thinking about him all the time, you're obsessed with him, right? The Bible says, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with thy entire heart, right? Mind and soul. Jesus said, the greatest thing you can do, the best thing is just to love him all the time. You know what? When you're in the presence of God, there's no room for depression. There's no room for anxiety. There's no room when you have the hope. It doesn't matter what your circumstances says. Because your circumstance is a result of something that has happened in the past. Meaning this, something in the spiritual happened as a result of where you're at in the natural. The natural is simply a reflection of what happened in the spirit realm at some point. Because we don't live in the reality. The reality is the spirit realm. We are just a byproduct of the things that are happening. There is a war going on right now in the spirit realm over not only you, but other people and everything else that's going on. There is a war, a spiritual war going on. And believe it or not, for some people, there's a spiritual war for people just to make it to church today. Right? There's things in the spirit realm why I'm here today. And you're here today, right? I've overcome some things in the spirit realm because I'm here. I'm not tempted with not being a church. I'm not tempted with not being in fellowship with God. I'm not tempted by these things. And I'm here because I've overcome some things in the spirit realm. And you're here too because you've overcome some things in the spirit realm. So just doing things again, everything is a result of the spirit realm. So now there's no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe in the name of God's beloved Son. Verse 19, and here's the basis for their judgment. The light of God has now come into the world, but the hearts of people love their darkness more than light because they want the darkness to conceal their evil. So the wicked hate the light and try to hide from it. For their lives are fully exposed in the light. But those who love the truth will come on into the out into the light and welcome its exposure. For the light will reveal that their fruitful works were produced by God. Here's a test, guys, to see if you're in the light or not. And you can tell around other people, okay? If you love the things of God and you run to it and you want to be in the light and you want to be around the light, I always know people who, you know, they don't want anything to do with the light. They don't want anything to do with God. Well, that's you've already exposed. That's why we were just talking about, was it Friday night and some other things. People say, well, I need to straighten myself up before I go to church. Are you kidding me? I'm going to take a bath before I take a shower. I mean, you know, it's like, right? I'm going to take a bath before I roll around in the mud. It's like you're already, how are you going to do that? What's the purpose of that? And again, that goes back to natural thinking, the flesh. I'm going to straighten myself. I'm going to get it out. No, you're in a mess now. You can't get yourself out of. It's Jesus is the one that's going to deliver us. So you can always tell, again, this is a test for ourselves here. Do you enjoy and desire the things of God? You can tell those people who don't, then often it's because there's things that could be exposed in our life, right? But it's a healthy thing. It may not be a comfortable thing for God to expose some, you know, the light to expose some things. You ever try to get ready in the morning with no lights, you know? The other day we had our lights go off, you know, it was like the power went off like four times and then it was off for a couple hours, you know, and it was still daylight out, but you know, we got some closets and things, you can't see anything in there, you know? But the great thing about the light is, you know, especially if you're trying to get ready and I don't put makeup on, shock, right? But for you ladies, you know, you're trying to put mascara on, it's like you're in the dark. I mean, yeah, you come out and look like Bozo or something. I mean, hello, right? So we need the light because what? It shows us things that we need to do. It exposes some things, and that's still a good thing. Again, the world isn't interested in hearing about Jesus, the things of God, miracles, testimonies. People don't want the light of the gospel, the message, the Holy Spirit to what? Expose your lifestyle. Anytime, let me just say this, anytime God shows up, it means there's got to be change. Because guess what? When God shows up, it isn't, well, let's see, do you want to do, there's no negotiating with God. You ever notice that before in the Bible? That's like, well, why don't you do this a little bit, and then I'll give you this, and blah, blah, blah. There's no, it's like when God shows up, it's either my way or the highway, right? There is no, you know, patty cake, and, you know, let's do this, and let's do that. No. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's pressure to change. There's pressure to come up to a new level, right? Well, that's just so mean. Well, really, we send our kids to school or we school them or however that is. Why? Because we're applying pressure for them to come up to a new level, right? We got kids and well, Dad, I just don't want to do this math stuff. I don't want to do this. Well, really, you got to, right? They don't like the pressure to change, to grow up, to do a new level. Do I have to do this English stuff? Yes, you do. Do I have to do spelling words? Yes, you do. Do I have to do the math? Of course you do. My goodness. If you run to the light, you're going to live in the light. The light is always going to help us. Jesus is the light. But the cool thing about this is a scripture too. God is the initiator. He is the one that is running to us. He is the one reaching out to us, right? I mean, think about it. You know, the world will think that, you know, sometimes, not everybody, but, you know, sometimes, I just remember, you know, we were just talking about Mardi Gras, and we've done a street evangelism and things like that, too. And, you know, you get some people that just act annoyed. But it's like, wait a minute, I'm sent by God here to help you. And I'm being rejected rather than looking at things like, hey, this person actually cares about me. I believe this is a divine appointment. God is the initiator. He is pursuing us. Religion says we got to chase God down, you know. We got to find him. We got to do these things. And God does want us to pursue him. But guess what? I think the greatest mystery is that God is pursuing us. That God is running after us. That God is trying to catch us. That he's sending people across our path, you know. I still believe, you know, people are going to, especially in America and other, but I still believe that there are going to be people that stand before God. They're going to go, well, I didn't know. And God's going to go, well, all these television channels you had, you passed like 30 churches on the way to work. You did this, you did this. I don't think there's going to be any excuses, right? There's not going to be any excuses. 2 Corinthians 13:11. But God is good. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Now, this is a final, like kind of a farewell here. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be what? With you. The Apostle Paul here is telling the Corinthians that this, that the peace and the love of God is going to be with us. The peace and the love of God is going to be with us. I say that again. The peace and his love, God of love and peace, shall be what? With you. Let me just say this. You know, we can motor mouth all day long about the love of God, but I believe and I know for a fact the love of God is a tangible item. It is something that is real. The anointing of God is something that covers us. Okay, you want to get weird? I don't want to get weird. But a couple weeks ago, well, the first Sunday we were here, I was praying and talking about signs and wonders. We were just talking about, I was in Denver, and I didn't know what to think of it at the time. I was at this trade show, and I looked down, and my hands started having oil and gold dust manifest on them, you know? And Andrew and I were talking about this just a couple weeks ago, that, you know, we'd ask for people to pray for prayer. And there was oil just all over my hand right here. It was just like dripping off my hand. It was sort of manifested on that. So again, I believe that that is something where signs and wonders, we don't understand these things, right? But an oil, the oil of anointing, James talks about it. You know, those who are sick, pray for the elders, anoint them with oil. Oil is an anointing. Samuel came and anointed David. It's often not only that, but it's God's sign of approval on somebody. Often there's an anointing, there's a for a specific office. But I say this, years ago, you know, we just think about, oh, the love of God and faith and everything else too and all these other things. You know, I was working at Vermeer and I was applied for this job. And I woke up one morning and I saw my supervisor. I was a machinist at that time. I was still finishing up school and doing different things. But when I finished up, but I was working there, but I was machining and I had applied for this programming job. Anyway, I woke up one morning and I had a vision of the, I looked over where my machine was and I saw my supervisor walking down the steps, and in the middle of the plant there, we had in the middle, there's this two-story, you know, office area, and then at the front of the building, there's an office area. But anyway, so he was coming down, and as he walked over to me, and he said, hey, you know, we're going to offer you the job and all this other stuff. Okay, this is my vision. And they're supposed to make a decision that day, right? So as I woke up, you know, we see there in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2, and it talks about what we call the gift of faith. As I woke up, I felt this actual physical presence on me. Like it was like something sitting in my chest, you know? You ever have somebody, like a little kid or somebody or an animal or something sitting on your chest? It felt like that. There was something sitting on me physically, right? But nobody was there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's the gift of faith. It's an actual physical, you know, we always think it's a concept or an idea, but faith can be something physical. It was setting on me. The love of God, the anointing of God, can be a physical presence. It can be something that is manifest. We see here Paul says that the love of God, that it shall be with you. That it's something that you contain, you're a container. We think about this, we're really containers. The love of God. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's in our hearts. It's in us. There's a actual spiritual presence in us of love that we're containers of if we're believers, right? To love God, again, we must first understand that He loves us and is with us. God doesn't take a break from us. Okay, Brent, all right, we're done. It's nighttime. All right, you know, like, all right, see you in the morning. It doesn't work that way, does it? The Holy Spirit, it is not, God doesn't check out in the morning. There isn't this, no, He's with us all the time. Matthew says that He makes His abode or His home in us. Again, guys, why are we talking about this? Because it's so important to understand that God is in us. He lives in us. He functions in us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be involved in every concept, every area of our life. Every area. Every area. I remember one time we were, you know, we had a guest minister at our old church. And just talking about the little things, you know, God is interested in. I remember, you know, back then I was wearing suit and tie at church, you know, and everything, you know, and that was, we did that, and the guest minister had a tie. And I was, I was sitting there, Lord, I, you know, and we're not coveting over people's stuff, right? I'm not saying, hey, you know, Barry, I love your shirt. Man, I really wish I had that shirt, you know, but I said to myself, Lord, you know, I really like his tie, you know? And, you know, he's praying for people and everything. He takes his tie off, wraps around me, ties it around my neck, and walks on, you know. God is interested in the little things. You see what I'm saying? You know, the world thinks that stuff is crazy, that's nuts, but I'm telling you what, God's a real God, and I've experienced him, and there are things you can't talk me out of. I'm like a pit bull on a you know, on a T-bone steak. You can't, I've seen too much stuff in the spirit realm for things to happen. And I said, well, Lord, I like that tie. And the Holy Spirit immediately said, well, he's going to give it to you. I'm going to tell him to give it to you. And then 5 minutes later, he's taking his tie off, giving me his tie, right? Because God is interested in those little things with us, right? And guess what? He got blessed with other things too, right? And you know, the great thing about it is when God has told me to give things to people and you know, to bless somebody else. You know, we always have a religious mindset of, or, you know, the people in the world who are greedy, they always think, you know, oh, I got to give that up. But you know what? What if you're the person on the other end? I always think about that too, you know? So cool to give somebody something and to be a blessing to them and to sow into their life and to love on them and to see them blessed, right? The love of God in us is going to want to see other people blessed too. Matthew 14:14. Because we'll never approach God if we can't get this down, guys. If we can't get the revelation that God is love, he wants you to have good things. He wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, right? He wants you to be blessed from your head to your toe. He wants other people around you to be blessed because you're blessed. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and what? He was moved with what? Compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Compassion and the love of God is always an action, you know. We always consider this stuff as a feeling. Oh, I just had compassion on him. Really? No, you just had pity on him. That's really what you'd had. Unless you do something about it, right? Compassion. Compassion does something. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved, talking about Jesus, with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was really concerned about their welfare. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Several times, you always look at when Jesus had compassion, the supernatural was involved. Jesus had compassion on people. Mark 1:39-43, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, came to him, and kneeling down to him, and said unto him, if you will, can you make me clean? And Jesus, moved with compassion, oh, this guy's annoying, I cannot believe these people, I'm so hungry, I'm so tired, I want to go, these people just keep begging me all the time for healing. Another one of these characters, right? No, he's moved with compassion. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. You know, these lepers were the biggest outcasts of society. You know? Walking along, their fingers are falling off, their toes are falling off, their nose and ears is falling off, they're wrapped up, they smell terrible, they have to, you know, live certain distance from everybody else, and they can't stay with the rest of the populace, and Jesus is having compassion on them, right? And probably most other people are just, oh, I wish they would just die, they would just, let's just get these people out of here. Not Jesus, he had compassion on them. He had compassion on the crowd too when, you know, he fed the 40 or the 5,000, right? What are the disciples saying? Well, just send them off. Just they can get their own food, you know. Pfft. Jesus spent all day teaching them, preaching. All day these people have been come, they listened to him. He had compassion on them. And he could have said, well, they just need to be spiritual. They need to fast today. We just need to be spiritual. No. He was concerned that they had enough to eat. Acts 10:38, we'll close here. Man, I love the scripture. We were just reading earlier on that portion up there on the faith challenge. I just say this, guys. No matter what you're going through, God is wanting to get you out of this, okay? No matter whatever challenges you have, God wants to get you out of it. I don't care if it's physical, financial, like I said before, it doesn't matter. God loves you. He is concerned about it. Well, God just doesn't care. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. That is the biggest lie. We begin to study the Word. We begin to understand some things in the Bible. That God is falling over backwards over himself to try to reach mankind. We do not have any kind of record of any other. I don't know, you know, some people, they have the what we call the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, that there was some kind of gap there. There was a cataclysmal event here on the earth. There could have been other life form here. We don't know. But all I'm saying is this, according to our scripture, mankind is the only creation that God has sent forth to redeem us. No other life form. The demons, they're going to be ending up in hell. They're going to be ending up in the fire. They're going to be in the lake of fire with the devil, with Satan himself. Right? And he didn't make any provision to rescue them. He didn't make anything. He's just, you're done. But he loved us to give us a second chance, a way out, doing whatever he can to get his children back to him. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Went about doing good, healing some, just a few, no, that were oppressed. He healed all that were oppressed of who? The devil. For God was with him. God is working through Jesus to deliver us, working through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The devil is the oppressor. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, we are shunned in a lot of circles, and a lot of people avoid us like the plague because we actually believe that God is a good God, and we believe the devil does bad things, and we believe God still heals, and there's things that God still wants to. I mean, you just cannot believe the kind of craziness that we experience because we actually believe the Bible. God's a good God. Jesus loves people. He's redeeming us. He wants to heal us. He wants to speak to his children. And that is just craziness to people. I mean, that is just unheard of, you know, especially around here. You know, we want to pet and stroke our little religious devils, and we just love our little, you know, our little pet doctrines. And Well, because grandpa and grandma and their grandpas and grandmas believe this, and they believe this, and that's what our church believes, and that's what our, you know, denomination believes, and this and this and this. Well, I'm sorry, but God is good. Jesus came to deliver us. Amen. He has come to deliver you with whatever you have, and He is real, and He is manifesting Himself all over the world. And we're going to see a revival, I believe, like we've never seen before. The healing revivals, the charismatic movement, the word of faith, all of these things combined together, like the Rodney Howard Brown, the joy experiences, all of those things together are going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what we're going to see. And God is not going to end this thing with, you know, the world having the last laugh in the world. No, God will not be outdone. I believe that. He is going to manifest Himself. He's going to manifest Himself through you. It's not going to be just ministers who are going to be doing this. You know, the rock star, you know, ministers on TV. He's going to use every person to lay hands on, to do things, to manifest Himself through people. And there is so much goodness that God has. And I do not care, and that's why we've got to get to the point too, where we need to not worry about what other people say. We're not rebellious or trying to cause problems, but the point is this: if God says I'm a good God and the Word says that He's a good God, then we believe it, no matter what your experiences say, no matter what your philosophy says, no matter what happens. You know, we just saw that sign Brian just showed on the screen there. You know, we're going to see more of that. Because God is going to go out with a bang. And I believe that we are at the very end of this what we call church age right now. We're at the end of it. We're going to see healings like never before. We're going to see people come to Jesus. You thought, there is no way that person is going to come to God and they are going to be slinging snot and crying their bawling the head off and coming to Jesus. Amen? And these chairs do not bother me. Nothing bothers me. All I know is this: I just want to obey Him and see His will be done. Amen. And when God shows up, places will blow up. Amen. It is impossible. You tell me when somebody gets healed and something happens, you know, we could barricade both these doors and it still wouldn't keep the people out. Because people want God. Amen. Nobody in heaven's going, oh, I wish I was back on earth. Oh, boy, I don't know. This is, it's awful being up here hanging out with God. These golden streets and stuff. I'm kind of having a problem with this prosperity message up here in heaven. It's just really bothering me. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares, right? Nobody cares about what church you go to. Nobody cares about anything else. When God shows up, all of our theology is out the window. It's all gone after that. We don't care. It's just all God. Amen? Doesn't matter what I know or think. I still have, you know, the more I learn about the Word, and Adrian and I were just talking about this last night, the more I understand about the Word, the more I about God, the more questions I do have, right? I was, you know, had the privilege of working for Rhema there, and I would, you know, of course, we started there. Brother Hagin was still there, but then he passed away shortly after that. And I remember being in, you know, and Brother Hagin was just very humble, you know, when you listen to him. We saw Brother Hagin and when he was still alive, very humble, you know, talking about what little I know. And guys, I'm telling you what, the things I saw of his study notes and everything, the man was tremendous, just tremendously humble and an encyclopedia of biblical knowledge and just vast revelation. But, you know, he knew there was so much more to God to understand and to know. There was so much depth to Him that we just can't understand all of Him. And it's going to be an eternity of us. Isn't that exciting, though? You know, yes. Not this, hey, we're done. We're going to float around on clouds, popping grapes. You know, it's going to be in heaven. No, that's not it at all. We're going to be learning so much about God. It's going to be wonderful. And that's amazing. I'm sorry. I'm just getting myself all happy and excited up here. Because anytime I talk about Jesus, anytime I talk about the Father, good things happen. I get excited. You know, last night, Kate was praying. We were praying for Kate, and her hands started just healing up right in front of us. And she's like, Daddy, look. I'm like, yeah, it's cool, isn't it? You know, Daddy, I just prayed, and God started healing me. Jesus healed me. I'm like, yeah, I know, babe. Isn't that awesome? Amen? Out of babes. We don't need to have any kind of theology degree or anything. Just you're a believer, right? You just love Jesus. He's living on the inside of you. Just touch him and let's just expect it to happen. Amen. The little things, you know. The little people are giants in the kingdom. Amen. We don't have to limit this to you're the kids, you're the adults. And no, we're all the body of Christ. We're all one. Whether you're one or 99, it doesn't matter. It's just we're on the kingdom. Amen. And God is a good God, and he wants to just work through willing people, you know. Doesn't matter. God doesn't look at your education or your ability or anything else. He was like, I want you to just work on, let me give you my ability, and we'll do that. Let me give you my thoughts, right? But I grew up, and I grew up this way. Nope, God's like, here's my word. I said you're a king and you're a queen. Your royalty. You got my royal bloodline in you now. Your royalty. It's because of him. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. You know, this morning, I know I said every day or every Sunday, but we always want to offer a prayer. If you need anything, you need to come back to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus for the first time. You need prayer of agreement for something. Whatever that is, we want to pray with you after we're done here. And, you know, we always want to give opportunity. Because Jesus said, if two or more gather in my name, I'm in the midst of them. And that's a type of prayer, is what we call the prayer of agreement. We agree together on something. But my prayer for you this morning is this. That God is going to manifest himself to every person in this church like never before this week. That you're going to receive the love of God in your life like never before. You're going to experience, I pray, Holy Ghost, right now, that you're going to touch every person in this room this week, that your love will be manifested in their life like never before, Lord. Jesus, 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 we thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands for a moment here. Amen. Let's just worship him for just a moment. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.